Chapter 57. "He's burning up. Feel his forehead," the man said, touching Charlie's head.
"I did. What should we do?"
"I lost a lot of money on him. I don't know why the beast let him live."
"That's why they call it gambling, Lenook."
"Whatever," the man grumbled. "I say we let him die.
Look at his arm. It's red. Maybe infected.
If he got even a drop of Zamaki blood in that wound, he won't survive the night."
"We have to tell Grampire. You'll want to know why his newest purchase is taking up cot space when he should be filling the dragon's belly.
But if he is infected, no Zamaki will touch him.
That would explain your loss. You know how they are about sickness. They can smell it."
The gathered overseers and facility managers, charged with keeping the operation running smoothly, huddled over Charlie's immobile body a while longer, quietly debating his fate while he lay in a fever state, oblivious to the world. After weighing the punishment for having an illness on their shift versus not reporting it to their boss, the trio finally drew straws to select the unlucky soul who would inform their employer.
"Sick, you say?"
"Yes, sir. He is running a high fever and his arm is inflamed. An infection, I'm sure, though one of the others thinks he may have gotten a drop of Zamaki blood in his wound."
"Oh?"
Grampire asked, suddenly interested in the new development.
"But he isn't dead yet."
"No, not yet. He's hot and his arm is red, but he's still hanging on."
"Then it's definitely just an infection. He'd be dead otherwise."
"Still, fascinating. A fighter, then, this one."
"Time will tell, sir."
"Indeed it will.
But how did he come to get Zamaki blood on himself? Was one of my beasts harmed during the feeding?"
"No, sir. It was the damnedest thing, actually. You know the injured Zamaki? The one people call Old Red?"
"Yes, a recent acquisition, that one. And quite a difficult catch."
"Well, he was feeding it."
"Ah, I see. He approached the beast and its blood flew on him when it flapped its wings in rage?"
No, sir."
"No? Then what?"
"Well, he, mended its wing. That's when it got on him."
His master's silent pause hung heavy in the air.
"I'm sorry, did you say he mended its wing?"
"Yes."
"He actually touched the beast?"
"Yes, sir."
"And it let him?"
"Yes."
Grampire stroked his long beard, his brow furrowed.
"Very interesting. There is bravery there, or stupidity. Often one cannot tell the difference. See that he has the care he requires. If he survives, this one may be of great value to me yet."
Charlie did survive, though for a few days that was in question. The fever rash spread to his entire body, turning him somewhat red for a time before gradually receding. At the end of the week, though, he was well enough to sit up and take fluids, and even a few bites of solid food.
"What happened to me? I feel like I was hit by a truck."
"Ah, you're awake," the overseer said. "I must tell Grampire. We've all been most expectant, wondering if you'd live or not."
"Gee, thanks. Did you win the betting pool?"
"Sadly, no. I did not bet on your survival and lost a small sum."
"Shit, man, I was kidding about there being a death pool on my head. That's not cool."
"In any case, you are on the mend, and Grampire wished to see you as soon as you regained consciousness. He will be most pleased."
The man quickly exited the room to fetch his employer.
"Hang on, they upgraded my translator," he realized. "What's going on?"
Charlie rose unsteadily, swaying on weakened legs.
"Exactly how long was I out for?"
He looked around the room. It appeared to be a small medical facility of some sort, though lacking in what he would consider traditional equipment. Having come face to face with an actual dragon, Charlie was forced to accept that this galaxy really was fueled by magic. And if that were the case, their healing tech would be no different. There were some crystals on rods hanging from mounts on the wall, all varying in size and color. What resembled an operating table lay at the far end of the room, another set of odd implements laid out beside it.
"Surgery by magic," he said, shaking his head in disbelief. "I am most definitely not in Kansas anymore."
Cries and cheers of a crowd met his ears, reminiscent of the merriment of the men and women watching him and the others feeding the zamaki. But this sounded different, louder, and there was the faint clang of metal on metal and the grunts of men. Fighting, he realized. But where and why was the question? A slight breeze was blowing in from the window, and Charlie found himself smelling far more of the strange world than he had upon first arriving. Scents were clearer, crisper, and he seemed almost able to tell them apart from each other within the overwhelming stench of sweating bodies, refuse, and death. With a bit of effort, he suppressed the odors, making himself only smell the planet's vegetation on the breeze. "Now that's downright odd," he muttered as he looked out the window. He was in a higher window, likely the third floor, if he gauged the distance correctly. Not too far in the distance, he could see what appeared to be the edge of the bazaar, where a small spaceport welcomed new arrivals. He'd never seen ships landing from this vantage point. He'd always been either locked within a cell aboard the slaver craft, or hunched over, carrying some massive load through a dense crowd. But this was fascinating. Drooks of varying abilities controlled the approach and descent of the various ships, glows of differing colors enveloping the craft, depending on the origin of their magical propulsion slaves. The ships, too, were many in shape and design, though despite his time with Captain Saruman, Charlie still couldn't tell which ship was from what system just by looking. Shrieks and bellows cut his contemplation short. The Zamaki were restless, it seemed, though unlike previously, it sounded as if someone was hollering back at them equally loud.
"Let me look at you," Gramfear said, his robes flowing behind him as he breezed into the room. He was dressed in far nicer attire than when Charlie had first seen him. This, he realized, was his non-public image. The bearded man put on quite a show for the rabble, but in the comfort of his own walls, he was actually surprisingly refined. For a slave trader, at least.
"How do you feel?" he asked with genuine interest.
"Do you have pains? Do your ears ring? How about your eyes? Can you see better than before?"
I don't think anything is different," Charlie replied, as the man grabbed his arm for a closer inspection.
"Look," he exclaimed, "nearly entirely healed, and despite the possible contamination. Oh, you, my boy, are a strong one indeed. You are strong, and you heal fast. Most promising indeed."
"I'm sorry, what's promising?"
"Why, you are the most fortunate of slaves. With some luck, you may even live long enough to achieve true glory, and win me a lot of coin in the process. And if you are truly exceptional, maybe even your freedom one day."
"I don't understand."
"You will. Bring him," he commanded, flowing out of the room like a man of half his mass. "You heard the boss. This way," he was ordered, then led down a long corridor to a staircase leading down to the ground level. Once outside, they steered his fever-weary legs around the building until they reached a large pen full of men in wild and varied costumes. Only they weren't costumes, he soon realized. They were wearing armor, strange alien armor. The men were pacing with nervous energy, the heavy bands around their necks glowing with power. Charlie noticed they were wearing slender conuses on their wrists, and many had slops dangling from their hips. Some had power, too. Not as much as the captain nor his new owner, but there was magic there. That explained the stronger control colors. They were deadlier by design, but still needed to be controlled. These were men preparing to fight. Fight for the pleasure of a crowd. Gladiators.
"Ah, I see you recognize what is going on," Gramfear said happily. "I lost several of my better fighters in the last bouts. Unfortunate and completely avoidable. But you, my boy, you will help replace them."
"But I don't want to be a gladiator."
"Yes, Captain Tour told me as much," he said, stroking his mighty beard. "But despite the kindness I am showing you today, you should know I am not nearly as gentle and understanding a man as your former owner. Now you heal quickly, and you even survive the Zamaki, and that makes you a valuable asset. However,
I do not suffer fools, and if you think even for a minute to refuse your training, you will quickly find your world to become one of extreme discomfort."
A bruised and injured man groaned slightly from the cot he lay on. Welts covered his body as if he'd faced some terrible foe and barely come out the other side.
"You see him?" Gramfear gestured toward the man. "This is what will happen if you hold back. You will train with the best of them, or you will be used as a practice dummy."
He fixed Charlie with a steely stare.
"One choice seems to be the obvious one. Don't you agree?"